Welcome to the Kiljan Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Dunbar. As always, listen out for the CPD code, which will be revealed within the episode. Today, I'm joined by Laurence Bernard, the Country Business Manager for the UK and Ireland for BASF's Professional and Specialty Solutions, who's here to talk to us about the return of a popular insecticide, Fendona.
Cool. Hello, Laurence. How are you doing? You okay?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Thank you. Enjoying a few days of sort of away from the field and being able to catch up with some admin work these days. I think last time I saw you was at one of the industry events over in Ireland, sort of in person. Have you been busy since then?
Yeah, I spend, well, probably half my time traveling, whether I go to every event in the UK. I like to be there, usually talking, but if I'm not talking, I generally try and be there anyway. Chat to pesties. I've just not long had a week at the Witness Factory for the Golden Ticket winners
for
the
right,
campaign
yeah,
that we did
socials.
It. Yeah, the campaign, it was fantastic day out, and the guys loved it. So something I might do again in the future, because it really was enjoyable, and the guys got to see sort of cilantro being made, storm being made, and it's rare when BASF allow people to go to the factory, so a real treat.
Amazing. As you said yourself, you know, you spend quite a lot of time at the industry events, and you will have seen quite a lot of people. A lot of the listeners will have had a chat with you at some point, but to the newer ones to the industry, could you just tell us a little bit about your role at BASF and, you know, your history in pest control, that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I'll start off. My role at BASF is a bit of everything. So mm-hmm. I am the UK and Ireland country manager for the pest control portfolio, I guess. I do have a minor responsibility when it comes to sort of turf and nematode products that we also do. But my colleague, Matt, sort of covers that sort of area. But we share, I guess, budgetary and sales and stock management responsibilities when it comes to that side of the business. But in sort of my role for pest control, it's looking after obviously the products, it's the technical support, it's the marketing, it's the sales.
Yep.
It's a little bit, basically a little bit of everything. It's supply chain, so it's planning production, it's planning when I'm going to get product. It's being involved in whether it's developing existing products or looking at new products. So yeah, a little bit of everything for pest control when it comes to our products within the industry for the UK and Ireland specifically. So I don't roam outside of that remit. Maybe one day.
Yeah, that's it. Well, keeps it nice and local.
Yeah, in terms of my former life, most people generally know me from my years at Kiljan. Well, I had 7 years there as one of the ASMs for sort of East Midlands, East Anglia, South Yorkshire. It sort of started off as a smaller area, and it sort of seem to expand from there.
Evolve.
So really love my time at Kiljan. It's a great company to be at. It was great dealing with all the customers that I dealt with. I made lots of sort of life friends during that time.
Amazing.
But I sort of added 7 years, and I was sort of ready to learn something new and I guess develop myself, and BASF came knocking, and it felt like a good fit, certainly at the time. Good. Before that, I was at the British Pest Control Association, so I was doing writing a magazine.
All the big names.
Yeah, so I was like the ghostwriter, so if anyone ever read like PPC magazine during the years I was there, it was pretty much all me as sort of ghostwriting that. I did sort of all the marketing, comms, research, but technical support, and also a lot of like public outreach, so get a lot of calls from the public back then, and you'd spend a lot of time talking people, hopefully alleviating their concerns and directing them to a professional. So, and then in and around all of that time, so it's almost 20 years I've been in the industry, sort of also, you know, had my hand in actually doing pest control, going out on jobs, doing the work, using the products, etc. So pretty much done everything from, I guess, you know, pest control to a trade association, distribution, manufacturing, run through the full circuit.
Yeah, sales, marketing side of things.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. Right, well, that leads us nicely to the root of the topic that we're going to talk about today. It's all about Fendona at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, we're just obviously in the summer season, so starting to get all those wonderful insect pests that we all know and love.
That's right.
And obviously, residual insecticides like Fendona is sort of key to lots of people's sort of toolbox during this period. So yeah, that's obviously the rodent season quietens down a bit now. So for me, it's lovely to have an insecticide because last year I lost Goliath, and I lost Formidor. And so therefore I've had nothing to sort of talk about over the sort of summer period. So really happy to have something in the toolbox that we can sort of talk about and sell.
That's brilliant. So I guess, you know, one of the things we've got to address, I guess it's a bit of an elephant in the room for those that have been in the industry for a little bit longer. So we know that Fendona has been withdrawn at some point and now it's made a return. So why was that?
So back in 2019, it was withdrawn from the market. They put it through for re-registration under the BPR, and the label they got back for the UK was hideous. It was
right.
It was like cockroaches in poultry houses. That was the use conditions. So from a business point of view, the business decided that wasn't a viable option to keep it on the market. So then, it was actually just before I started at BASF, they relooked at it, see if we could sort of resubmit our data and try and get a wider label for the pest control market so we could bring it back onto the market. So in Europe and outside of Europe, Fendona is a really big product. Vast amounts sold, widely used, really popular. And that was the case in the UK for literal decades. So, you know, at one point you would carry Fendona and another product, and that was basically it. That was your toolbox when it came to insect control. And obviously, like I say, unfortunately, they decided to withdraw it in 2019. So it was a real focus for me when I started in 2023 was to sort of push it and try and get it over the line and get it back on the market. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
So it was all about the label, making sure that it's still a viable product, you know, not massively restricted in the areas of use. So I guess compared to the original label of Fendona, is there any differences? Again, some people might have used them, be very used to them, thinking they might be pick up where they've left off almost. Is that the case?
Yeah, well, I guess a bit like a lot of insecticide labels, they're not as broad as they used to be sort of 10 years ago. We used to just have flying and crawling insects, and that gave you sort of carte blanche to sort of use it on on anything, and even just, you know, where you could use it as well. It was very, very broad and very vague. As everything goes through the BPR, they will find their labels get much more restrictive and quite specific on areas or pests. So it's nowhere near as broad as it was, like I say, pre-2019. But like I said, I don't believe anything is as broad as it was since before that sort of period.
No,
if it's gone through the BPR, there are still some products, to my knowledge, on the market that haven't gone through the process yet. So expect them to be have their labels reduced. So certainly not as broad as it was, but we found there was definitely enough on the label for the pest control market to basically bring it back onto the market. So
fantastic.
And pretty much covers, I'd say, a large majority of insects and areas that, you know, pest controllers would use it for. So
day to day, 80-90% of jobs. That's pretty much
very much so. Yeah, very much so.
Perfect. So are there any specific areas of use or any particular species that you really fought to get back on the label? Were there these sort of like holy grail uses that you were after?
There's a few things we really wanted on there. One was obviously ants. As we lost Formidor, which was a wonderful gel bait, we were looking for something to have ants on there. So obviously we've got black ants on there, which is ideal when we get to that sort of back end of the season, when you get like flying ants. So usually July time is sort of weather dependent, isn't it? Usually around July, we get sort of flying ant season. Well, that's where the gel baits sort of become not particularly useful when it comes to control. And actually that's where spraying is a much more effective method. So really wanted ants on there. We got bed bugs back on there, which again, from a sort of a rotational point of view, when it comes to resistance in bed bugs to insecticides, it was nice to have Fendona within that sort of rotational scheme. House flies as well, same sort of reason.
Yeah.
House flies, there's a growing resistance in house flies to insecticides. So again,
absolutely
bringing getting that on the label and allowing people to add that to their sort of repertoire was key to us. Yeah, I think the one thing we were particularly upset about, though, you know, one species we didn't get on the label was fleas.
Right.
Fendona, again, back in its day, most people would very, you know, use that substantially for fleas. It was a great product for that sort of scenario. I guess the only positive I'll take from it to some extent is fleas nowadays are, you get a lot less flea jobs than we used to, even just 5 years ago within our sector. So they're becoming less relevant to our business. They're still important and people still get flea jobs, but nowhere near as what they did 10 years ago, not even close.
Of course, yeah.
I didn't see it as the end of the world. It was just one thing I would have liked added onto that label.
I mean, there's obviously a variety of options for fleas as things sort of stand. And as you said, it does tend to fluctuate with how popular the flea jobs are at the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's absolutely fair enough. So I guess you kind of touched on it a little bit already. Thing about Fendona is, you know, it was very, very popular. So, you know, there was an outcry when it was withdrawn and everybody seems to be very excited about it returning now. So what was it that made Fendona such a popular product in the first place? Why was it this sort of go-to insecticide?
Yeah, I think some of it is a little bit, one, it's a great product and we'll talk about the in-depth sort of how the product works, but it was sort of tried and trusted and pest controllers, you know, we're all very similar. If it isn't broke, we don't tend to fix it. It was out on the market a really long time. It rarely failed anyone. And so people stuck with it and loved it. So I guess there's almost a nostalgia element to it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that have been in pest control, I would say longer than 10, 15 years, love Fendona because they used it a lot during their sort of earlier career and stuck with it throughout. I think it's going to be really interesting to see about new people into the industry. So anyone that's joined the industry post 2019, I guess, how they get on with it and how they pick it up. And my suspicions are they will love it just as much as the guys, I guess, what we call, you know, old school, not even old school pest controllers, but pest controllers have been in the industry for a long time.
That's it.
Like I say, they love Fendona, so it's going to be really interesting to see how it's picked up by sort of the newer pesties.
Nice. So, but because the product itself hasn't changed at all, has it, since it's been out?
No, product's exactly the same as it was. Nice. It's just an adapted label, so like for like, exactly as it was pre-2019, and as it was for 30 years. On the market, so it's been on the market.
Fair comparison, though.
Yes, had a very long time on the market. People loved it. I guess why did they like it? Really good knockdown and good residual, and great on a variety of surfaces. So, what more can you ask really from a residual insecticide? It was it was a key thing in the toolbox that everyone had and everyone used. So, like I say, I personally love bringing, bring back some much loved products if we can adapt them, whether that's under a different active ingredient, whether that's different use patterns, whether that's almost a package, whatever it is, anything I can do to try and bring back some old products that we sort of had. I'm the first one there. I've got a list of products I would love to bring back that BSF have had over the years. So
lovely.
I am working hard on that.
That sounds good to me. So obviously about the product itself, obviously the active ingredient is alpha-cypermethrin. It's not an active that you sort of come across very, very commonly these days. So if you could tell us a little bit about how it works, the sort of mode of action. It's obviously a synthetic pyrethroid. How does it compare to some of the other synthetic pyrethroids that are out there?
Effectively, it's a much more refined synthetic pyrethroid compared to what we'd call like the type ones, like a permethrin or cypermethrin. Alpha cypermethrin is what we call a type two. So as with all pyrethroids, it sort of targets sodium gates within the nerve, inhibits the transmission of signals along the nerves, and effectively leads to their death. So they works very similar. Like I said, the difference is it is a much more refined version, and therefore it tends to be more powerful, I guess, compared to some of the other actives on the market, generally more stable as well, which means you will get a longer residual life compared to most other sort of insecticides on the market, if used obviously properly and according to the label.
Amazing. Right. So obviously alpha cypermethrin, you believe it's, I always look at insecticides in a way like Pokemon's, aren't I? You've got cypermethrin, then alpha cypermethrin. It's like an evolution of it, isn't it? And you say it's...
Yeah, that is a wonderful way of sort of understanding it, actually. Yeah. Because that's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's you had permethrin, cypermethrin, alpha cypermethrin. It's sort of the last evolvement form. Yes. That's I might use that, Mike, as a way of explaining it.
Yeah, you can take it. That's it. But that's it. Yeah, I believe so. You said it's a more refined version. I believe there's a few different sort of isomers within cypermethrin, and you select the most potent ones out of that, and that becomes alpha cypermethrin. So giving you that, as you said, that more higher potency of that particular product within the same insecticide or group. Right. That's fantastic. So, that's how it kills the insects. It's a sodium channel modulator, right? It affects how the signals within the nervous systems are passed on. So how do we deliver it to the insect in that case? So we talked about the active. Let's have a chat about the formulation. Is there anything special about the formulation itself?
Yeah, well, I guess like anything in pest control, there's a lot of products that have the same active ingredient, but actually it's the formulation that makes the difference. I mean, and that's, I'd put that in even on rodenticides, you can get a vast variety and quality in the formulation and as to whether rats or mice will actually even eat the product. Mm. So, to some extent, it's not too dissimilar when it comes to insecticides. It's an SC, so it's a suspension concentrate. It basically means that the active material is sort of presented in a solid phase, I guess.
Okay.
And it means effectively it's much, much more effective and long lasting on certainly porous surfaces, and the material isn't sort of drawn into the surface, I guess, where you can have some other insecticides, it will effectively get drawn in, and therefore the residuality and the impact post spraying isn't as effective as an SC.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what makes, I guess, Fendona special and unique.
Absolutely. Because it depends on the insect that you're treating. You know, some of the life stages of the insect, you know, you want that residual insecticide to remain on that surface, so as they emerge or they get reintroduced into that treated area, they get exposed to that insecticide, and that's what gives us control. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So obviously, let's have a chat about the sort of, it's got a bit of a double effect, doesn't it? It first offers a knockdown effect as well as the residual effect. Is that the case?
Yeah, very much so. So in all our testing on a variety of species, so whether that's cockroaches, ants, bedbugs, etc., generally the average, you should get a knockdown within 30 minutes of treatment.
Okay.
So if you've sprayed anything directly. And death is usually, well, between 30 minutes and an hour, depending on the species that you're dealing with. And then residuality wise, you can get up to about 6 weeks, So compared to a lot of products, that's a decent sort of time period.
Yeah, yeah.
There are some that do longer, there definitely are, but the payoff for, you know, some of the insecticides with a longer residuality is sort of, you don't get the knockdown. It's a much slower impact. So I think of like the microencapsulated insecticides, they have, you know, a long residuality to them. You can get up to 12 weeks on some of them,
but
they don't have that sort of knockdown effect, and it's a much slower level of control.
It's a nice sort of middle ground, isn't it? You want to encompass both modes of killing the insects that way.
Yeah.
No, fair enough.
Just a quick interruption to give you the all-important CPD code for this episode. The code is alpha-CPD-207. That's alpha-CPD-207. Now back to the podcast.
So, we've mentioned it a little bit as we were talking with the BPR in place and all that. With regards to spraying, surface spraying and space spraying, we're very much operating within the sort of pyrethroid arena. And with that, you know, there is a growing concern about resistance to pyrethroids and natural pyrethrins to within the insects across the UK.
Definitely.
Are there any sort of hints and tips or any advice you would give to pest controller as to how, you know, you can manage resistance? What sort of things can we implement to ensure that those insecticides will remain as usable for as long as we possibly can?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's not rocket science. So again, if you compare it to your rodents, so we've got a brain resistant to some of the second generation anticoagulants in rats and mice, is the advice has always been is to alternate your actives or use other methods as and when where possible. And that's, it's broadly similar when it comes to, you know, insect control. So to my knowledge, and you're much more technical than me, Mike, house flies and bed bugs sort of have the sort of most sort of growing levels of resistance to insecticides that I'm aware of. There are certainly others. So there's data on cockroaches being resistant to various insecticides and so on and so forth. But bed bugs and house flies are where we probably struggle the most with, or are going to struggle the most with as time goes on. So, you know, my advice to anyone is if you are sort of spraying, let's say you're doing house flies on a waste site, as an example, obviously you would use a myriad of tools and methods, but make sure you're alternating your active ingredients. Or if you're doing bed bugs, the same things. So if you're using let's say your treatment one, you use a cypermethrin or you use an IGR, whether that's S-methoprin or something of that nature, pyrifroxifen, or you use one of the, what I call a cocktail insecticides that has multiple actives.
And that's right,
then for your second treatment or your third treatment, use something else. Mm-hmm. You know, you use a different active ingredient. So, you know, use alpha-cypermethrin in the case of Fendona, or use one of the other sort of active ingredients, and just make sure you're changing it and alternating on your treatment. It's the same with flies, same with bed bugs. And actually, I would say that for any insect you're dealing with, if you end up doing multiple treatments for, just rotate your actives. That will certainly help. But also, there's other tools and methods. So bed bugs, there's lots of things. There's heat, there's steam. You've got you've got your product vasoprotector.
That's right. Yeah.
Which I always used to describe as like a liquid silicone.
It's a physical
mode of action. You've got diatomaceous earth. So you've got all these different sort of tools and things that you can in the toolbox. And it's about that sort of integrated approach, I guess. So it's doing multiple things, within that treatment process. Same with flies. You've got larvicides.
Yep.
You've got adulticides. Mm-hmm. You've got bags, you've got EFKs, you've got all these different things that you should be doing as part of the treatment, not just going in with that one, you know, that just one tool.
Definitely.
Because eventually that tool gets blunt and stops working.
Yeah. I mean, it all always boils down to the good old integrated pest management, doesn't it? Use of a variety of methods as much as you can, physical and chemical, exclusion wherever is possible. And obviously I've done quite a lot of work on waste sites. When you use any synthetic pyrethroid or pyrethrin product label, we'll tell you not to use more frequently than once a week. So again, minimize the risk of that resistance. Following the product label will be key as well, making sure that we're, you know, applying it as directed on the product label, not over applying or under applying.
100%. I'd say over applying is probably one of our biggest issues as an industry, because you know we're all human.
That's it.
I'm sure if most pest controllers are honest, that at some point or another they've added a bit more because it's a bad issue and they feel like and some labels used to allow it. So you know, certainly when bed bugs, there's quite a lot of product labels where you can increase your dosage, etc. I would have said over the years, less so now, but maybe 10 plus years ago, that was a common theme where people might overdose. And I think it's just one facet of where we are today when it comes to resistance, to be honest. It's probably been overused and overdosed in some scenarios.
That's it. This is that little bit of an alchemist, little 8-year-old boy in the middle of, inside of each one of us, you know, I have a bit of this, I have a bit of that. You know, these products have been tested. Yeah. At those specific concentrations, to ensure that they give us the best effect that they possibly can. So obviously sticking to the label is going to be key. And obviously setting up good monitoring, you know, for me, the key of integrated pest management is being proactive rather than reactive. Setting up a solid monitoring plan, monitoring setup on site will give you an indication, early warning signs in a way.
What I also say, it helps you be more targeted.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, quite often we're doing jobs and we're sort of taking a site and we're blanket treating an area when actually, I don't know, if you let's talk SPI or something like that, it will generally be focused around a set area.
It will, yeah.
And actually your monitoring tools will help you determine hopefully the source by where you're getting the most activity on your monitors, an example. So you only need to target your treatment in that area and not the whole sort of the whole area, the whole site. So same with bed bugs. I used to do a lot of bed bugs with people. I love bed bugs. I think they're fascinating. And I think they're fascinating because they're really difficult to control.
That's it. Yes.
And they're a challenge. They're a real challenge compared to most insects that we deal with. They're relatively easy within reason, but bed bugs are a real challenge. And I used to go to jobs with people where they've just, you know, they spray around the bed and the room and stuff, and say, actually, let's be more focused on here.
That's right.
It's a start of an issue. It's fairly low level, and we can see that most of the time they're focused around the bed and really close furniture and areas, edge of carpets, etc. So let's literally take the bed apart.
That's
let's
it.
Let's do the set steam. Let's spray. Let's do all the slats. Let's do all the little screw holes. And actually, that you don't then need to do the whole room. You can just focus on, you know, like I say, I used to call it forensic.
That's it. Yes.
You know, have this sort of forensic targeted approach, and certainly monitors really help with that.
Yeah, 100%. It's all about the quality of the initial inspection and how deep you want to go with bed bugs, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there's no getting around it.
And I was just going to say, when I do bed bug jobs with people, it was always the first treatment was the one that really mattered, like really mattered. So that was, even if it was a one bedroom property, 3-4 hours, really take your time on it. Your steam, your sprays, your dust, all the different tools that you can use.
Yeah.
And then hopefully on the second one, it's a much more reduced visit. Maybe you're just focusing it back onto the bed and just spraying it. And if you, same with, like with rodents, there's rats as well. Your initial survey, your first visit is the big one.
That's
and
it.
Then sort of the time that you need to take, if you get that one right, it makes the rest of the job 10 times easier when you're doing revisits, because you've pretty much done the hard graft in that first visit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. No, that's brilliant, Lawrence. Listen, before I let you go, I've just got one more question, I guess, lead you into it quite nicely. So can we, you know, we'd have brought back up Findoni. You said you're sitting on a few of the other products from the past that you're looking to bring back. Are there any more surprises we could expect from BASF in the coming weeks, months, years, I guess? Anything you can open the lid up on?
The short answer to that is, 100%.
Yep.
Obviously, I can't go into too much detail, but my first year at BASF was I auditioned Field Master Cilantra.
Yeah.
This year was Findoni.
Yeah.
And I expect something next year, expect more than one thing next year, to be honest with you. As probably with a lot of manufacturers, there's a lot of things stuck within the system, within sort of the registration process. It's sort of the timelines have extended over the past few years, probably since the COVID years, I guess, where if you submitted a product or submitted a label extension or anything like that, sort of 5 years ago, that would have taken a year, maybe 2 years. Now you're looking up to 5 years to get something sort of through that process. So there's like a, you know, we have a backlog of really exciting products. I hope to launch something. Well, I'm aiming for PestX.
Okay.
A launch of a really big, unique, innovative product, new active ingredient.
Okay.
So particularly preparing for that at the minute, quite excited. That's as much as I can tell you.
That's quite exciting. Yeah, no, that's brilliant.
But we have lots of things, lots of irons in the fire, so to speak, at the minute, and we're really looking to re-expand our portfolio and bring more tools to the market, so pest controllers have much more choice and much sort of wider availability of products.
Fantastic. I'm sure that'll be music to everyone's ears at least listening to this.
All I'll say, Mike, is I'm genuinely, you know, I, I get excited about that, as most press controllers, you get excited about new products and things. But this one, this next big product, I'm really, really excited about. I genuinely can't wait. And I know it's fantastic because they have it in some other countries and have done for quite a time.
Okay.
And it's a very, very, very popular product with press controllers in the various countries. So we'll finally get something to the UK that people will generally be really appreciative and love.
What a great tease to wrap up on, eh? That's fantastic. Yes. Love that. No, Lawrence, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. For those listeners that have not managed to see one of your, I've had a fortune to see your talk a couple of times this year. Make sure you get to some of the industry events, have a chat with Lawrence about, maybe he'll give you a little bit more off air, a little bit more information about some of the exciting new products. But in the meantime, thank you so much, Lawrence. It's been a pleasure, and I'll see you soon.
No, ditto. Marvellous. Cheers, Mike.
Cheers, Lawrence. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Again, many thanks to Lawrence for coming on to have a chat with us today. If you want to find out more about Fendona or any of the other products in BASF's range, you'll be able to catch Lawrence at one of the industry events, or alternatively, you can speak to one of us at Kilgerm and we'll be happy to help. Join me in the next episode. It's an exciting one. We're going to be talking all about the use of drones in pest control. See you then.